Get to Old Navy for star-spangled style. Right now, everything's on sale, up to 60% off. That's right, get everything from tees, shorts, dresses, and swim, all at 60% off. Now till July 7th at Old Navy and oldnavy.com. Valid through 7/7, select styles only.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? What?
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Uma Pagan Ampake Pagan. Joining me now is Ian McNally to talk about Train Station. It's a movie that's currently screening at GSE International Screens, and it's this piece of experimental cinema. I say experimental because it is made by 40 directors, has 40 actors in it. It's set in 25 different countries, and it all tells one story, right?
Yeah.
Now, there's a Malaysian contribution to this by Tony Pietra and Zali, and it stars Michael Chen and Andre Tu. They have about two and a half minutes of screen time together. Mm-hmm. And the story kind of follows this person in brown on this philosophical sliding doors type journey of self-discovery, in which every decision he or she makes can have a life-changing impact. And every time a choice is made, the film switches location, cast, and all of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's like sliding doors, but you never get on the train. The decision in this one, the big decision that kicks everything off is, will you wait for the train that might never come, or will you go home and wait it out and see what happens along the way?
I mean, there's Indian art movies, and then there's this. I mean, this is just a massive project in itself. I mean, I had trouble envisioning how they would pull something like this off, even by reading the description, right? I felt really anxious walking into the cinema because I didn't know what I was going to get. And I think I walked out going, huh.
Mm.
You know, I didn't have an overwhelming reaction of hate or an overwhelming reaction of love.
Mm. I went in thinking, because from hearing, I know Tony, so having heard about it from social media and things like that, I thought, one, there was a lot less people involved, so there was smaller segments. And two, it was a smaller story. Because what we get here, like with these 40 directors and 40 writers and God only knows how many actors, it changes and chops a lot. And going with it for the first half hour, you kind of can see where it's going. I was getting very much a Run Lola Run vibe off it, which is, you know, every time in Run Lola Run that she runs to try to save her boyfriend, and every time she fails, the story resets and she gets to run it again. And I was getting kind of that vibe off this, but then it went in some very interesting different directions and kind of, I don't know if the film got lost, but I think I got lost in the film.
I got lost in the film, but I never got lost with who the characters were.
Yeah, and that's not easy considering that the movie starts in somewhere like Nigeria or somewhere like that.
Something like that.
And it's a black man with a suitcase, and then it switches to a white guy, and then it switches to a white woman, and then it switches to a Middle Eastern woman, but you all instinctively, you know, that's the same character. The way they've shot it, the way they've just left little small hints, that's incredibly clever and incredibly well done.
Yes, I think so. I think that for me is the greatest achievement of this film.
Yeah.
As a piece of narrative, the viewer doesn't get lost with who they're supposed to pay attention to.
And of editing and of structure, because they're holding a case of some sort that's usually brown, and there's an element of brown on them. At one point, it's only just a tie. Another point, it's a headscarf. Another point, it's a full outfit. But you never lose track that that's the person you're supposed to be following. That's the person you're supposed to keep an eye on. I did get a little bit lost at the points where there's some scenes that go into a marital dispute. And at some points there, it's like, wait, the man and the woman keep switching. It's sometimes a man and a man. It's a man and a woman. It's a woman and a woman. It's like, wait, which is the person in brown again? I did get a little lost there.
Now, the story, of course, is something that's quite predictable and very common when you're talking about movies like this, right? Because
really,
do you not think so? I mean,
the whole throwing knives at targets in a darkened room, boxes labeled like the boxes
closure
labeled for the third
disclosure.
Act. You thought that was predictable?
No. I mean, for me, those were the kind of art movie tropes that we often come across.
A little bit, yeah.
But the idea behind every decision changing the course of your life is quite a common thread when it comes to these sorts of films.
I was expecting it to go hard in the third act into quantum mechanics and into Schrodinger's cat and stuff like that, which I thought would have not, you know, tied it together, because I think one of my problems with the film was at the end of it, it didn't quite have a central thread to hold it all together. I mean, it does have this message about, you know, the decisions, and you think you have choice, but you might not have choice. And it's how you look back on those choices you made, in a way. But I thought that it got a little lost in the end with that, in that it didn't sell that so much. You know what I mean? It kind of, the certain points in the story where it goes, it jumps back two steps. It's like Snakes and Ladders. You get to a certain point and you've reached the dead end, and then it jumps back a bit to a decision and goes the other way. It's not the beginning decision. At the start, it is the beginning decision, and then later it's decisions in certain branches, and then in other scenes, it's decisions in yet other branches, and then it's the architect from Matrix for some reason. Do you remember that bit?
Who's sitting in a room watching all of these screens and kind of explaining which decision tree the protagonist is on. It's a very weird and surreal scene.
Mm. But it is the Matrix. It is the architect scene from the Matrix. And that was weird to watch that bit, because I thought...
Only this time he's a janitor.
Yeah, I thought now is the time you need to be kind of getting your thesis out there of like tying things up and moving on.
Oh, because this isn't the last 10 minutes of the film.
That's the point. It started to feel long to me.
Okay, so here's the point, right? The movie runs at an hour and 40 minutes, and I felt that was far too long. I think for me, that was my biggest problem with the movie. You know, with these sorts of experiments, they work really well in short film. They work really well in a 20-minute format, heck, even in a 50-minute format. Mm. But an hour and 40 minutes feels like you're kind of stretching it out just a little too long for their average attention span. I mean, do you remember that movie? I can't remember what it's called now for the life of me, but it stars the guy, the lead guy from Lost, and it was about different viewpoints on an assassination.
Yeah, Matthew Fox.
Matthew Fox was in it, and I can't remember the name of the movie. And for me, this felt very similar to that because it's such a cool concept. And yet, when you have to watch the same thing four times or five times, it gets old.
And I had to bring it back to Run, Lola, Run, but the reason why that was such a success was it did it three times.
Exactly.
And the third was that you're done now.
And I think that's the point which every director has to make a decision. How many times... How much repetition can an audience stand before they start looking at their watches, right?
Exactly.
And I found myself looking at my watch quite a bit.
Quite a bit. Well, I mean,
after about an hour.
I think an hour 20 would have been a nice time to set up, especially the back half is stocked with some of the more arty bits.
Well, so that's the other thing. There is a clear divergence in quality, if you will, based on the 40 directors and 40 styles, right? Mm. Because everyone's got different styles. Some people using found footage style, some people are using handheld cameras, some people are like super professional.
There's one scene that looks
HD.
Yeah, there's one scene that looks like the nightclub scene from Bad Boys 1, Bad Boys 2. One of the Bad Boys movies, anyway. It looks slick.
It's very slick.
And there's another part where, I mean, the other director must be like, oh, great, I get this part, because it's just like girl dancing in street with suitcase.
So I think that's an interesting bit, in that there were sufficient parts of this movie that were allowed to breathe. And I think that's quite interesting when you're working with 40 directors, because if you have a little part of this film, sometimes you might want to make your mark so your part is remembered. But a lot of the time, if your part is just quiet, people may not remember it because it may feel like an interstitial. And I think there's a lot of sacrificing of ego if you're a director working on one of those parts in this film.
Yeah.
And for that, I think, kudos to them. It was very well pulled off.
Mm. And this is the thing. It's very different from the other superhero animated movies we review. I mean, you have to review these films differently, because it's a miracle the films get made, any type of film. Like,
correct.
Never mind your Star Wars or anything like that. Just getting together 30 to 100 people to put something on screen is a huge undertaking and takes so many different voices working together. To do this with so many people all over the world, not speaking different languages, speaking, you know, different time zones, everything, it's an interesting project to watch. I mean, you look at it as a project rather than the end point, if you know what I mean. It's an interesting watch. It may not be the most enjoyable watch, but it's a very interesting watch.
And, you know, if you love film in any way or form, you will spend the vast majority of this movie trying to figure out how they pulled it off. I mean, that's what I was doing. And, you know, just those interstitials, the writing process, the directing process, the editing process.
Yeah.
Oh, it is an accomplishment in itself. And for that reason alone, I think it's definitely worth a watch.
Absolutely.
You may love it, you may absolutely hate it, but I think the achievement and what they've accomplished with this, I tip my hat to that for sure.
Absolutely. That's part of the cinema we don't get to cover an awful lot, which is those films that push the envelope of what films can be. What makes a film can also be how it was made.
And, you know, we get enough of Wonder Woman's and Mummies and Pirates of the Caribbeans. This is a rare offering that if you're a film buff, I think you should definitely go check out.
Definitely.
So Train Station is currently showing at GSC International Screens. If you do check it out, as always, let us know what you think. I'm on @UmarPagan.
I'm on @McNastyPrime.
You've been listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you, with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.